Psalm 99:9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
To the Lamb, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry.
Sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry. Amen? Amen. Why be seated? Thank you, team. All of creation sings holy. You know, all of creation is obedient to God, but one part of it. Do you guys realize that? And we have the honor of being that one part. Everything God created does exactly what God created it to do and to be, and except for us. We're going to see the creation order today. Where are we going to find ourselves? That's what you need to ask yourself. Where in the creation order do you find yourself, and where you should be? You can make that decision today. We're going through the book of Hebrews, and we've been talking about the belief of unbelief, the relationship with God. And Hebrews 3:12, this is as far as we've gotten so far in the book. Chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The word unbelief there is faithlessness. There are people who believe in God. This generation we've been talking about that came out of the wilderness, they believed in God. They saw God do all these great miracles. They heard God from Mount Sinai. They even said to Moses, when he read them the law of God, that they would do everything God wanted them to do, but they didn't mean it. And they rebelled. Belief of unbelief is those who claim to believe in God, maybe even say they love Jesus, but their life is not faithful to what He has written in His Scripture. They are faithlessness. That's what they're full of, faithlessness. They won't follow Him, but they claim to have a relationship with Him. So many people today, and the Bible warns us this, have a false relationship with God. Religion can masquerade it and give you a feel like you have. They can orchestrate huge concert and worship events that make you feel like you've touched the divine. But inside you haven't. Your heart is still lost, separated from God. Your soul is still in its sin. And so you have to chase experiences or signs and wonders. You have to chase things to make you feel like you have a relationship with God. And the Bible warns us that many will say to Him on that day, "Lord, Lord," and He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's what we are wanting people to avoid. So that's what we've been talking about. What it means to have a real relationship with God, because that's what Jesus came to do. Romans 5:10. "For when we were enemies of God because of our sinfulness, our rebellion. It separated us from God, who is holy, and we are unholy." So we were His enemies. We were at odds with God. "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." Reconciled means friendly relation restored. We came back to God the Father through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. "Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." We have a new life in Christ now to walk and grow, and a life that is coming beyond all compare. I will talk about that next week. But we have been redeemed by Christ, given value. We had no value in and of ourselves, but Christ has given us value in Him. We are now reconciled back to God, a friendly relationship restored with the One who created you. We are no longer an enemy of God, but His children. Children who have been given a new life in Jesus Christ. Live the rest of our days on this planet walking with Him. Your relationship with God through Jesus is designed to be life-changing. You should never be the same. And from that moment on, you should continue to grow and be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. This relationship with God if you seek Him, will give you the highest calling and purpose in this world. Under the sun, there is nothing more important than this relationship and the purpose and meaning of this relationship. So let's go over what we've learned so far. Next slide. There you go. Purpose of the relationship is to bring glory to God. All creation was made for God's glory. All the creation does what God intended it to do. Except for us. We have rebelled. We have gone our own way. We've made life about us. But the purpose of the relationship that now you have with Christ is to bring the glory to the one who created you, who saved you. To bring glory to Him, you must know and understand Him. The path of the relationship, how we do this relationship is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow Me. So we die to self and we follow Christ. He is our example. He is the path. The fruit of the relationship. Your relationship with God is designed that God can, through you and the relationship, bring others to Christ. So they too can be in relationship. Your life is, and your relationship with God should bring others to God. But to do that, you have to take part in the personal aspect of the relationship. This is the most intimate. This is where we can get lazy. This is where we can neglect this personal time with God in the Word. Remember, the Word became flesh, and the Bible is described as a powerful and alive. It is literally God breathed the Word. This is God speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit takes these words of God and He renews your mind, restores the soul, builds you up, sanctifies you, strengthens you. This is the foundation for the rest of your life. You spend time with God one-on-one. You let Him sanctify you personally. From the inside out, He changes us. From what we used to be, the old thing, now we've become the new in Christ. You must not neglect your personal time with God. This personal aspect of God, this relationship, now takes you into a community aspect of the relationship. We've all been redeemed. We each have a single different story, but it's the same story. The sinner, the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter has come home to the Father. And God, when He saves us, He saves us. He gave His life for the sinners, and He gave His life for the church. We are to become the church. Each one of us as a person comes, and we take part in this body of believers. And we are sanctified as one body, one group of believers, each having different spiritual gifts that we come and we use. And this is what we are designed to do. This is where the relationship takes us. When people say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ, or I'm a believer, or I'm a Christian, but they don't want to be in church, there's something wrong with the relationship they have with God. Either it's fake, it's neglected. Something is wrong with that relationship. A true relationship with God makes you want to be part of the church because it is who you are. Come together to be salt and light, to take the gospel message to the world. That's where we go in the public aspect of the relationship. Your relationship with God is not private. Christ died for you publicly. You are to live for Him publicly. Out there, outside these walls, we are to be salt and light and share the truth. So that's what we've talked about so far. That's what the relationship with God is like. Now we're going to talk today about the rest. The rest in the relationship. Now, you hear people say, you'll rest in the Lord. That refers to a spiritual rest of the heart, the mind, the soul. A rest from confusion, worry, stress. Does anyone ever get confused in this world? Anyone get ever worried or stressed? No? You see, the rest in the relationship will help with that. The confusion, the worry, the stress. The uselessness of life that we have before Christ. Life seems meaningless. And that's what people say. Life is meaningless today. Well, actually, it's not if you know the one who gave you life. chasing after the cares of this life. That's what a lot of people are doing. They think, well, there's no meaning to life, so I'm just here to please myself. I'm going to chase everything out there that says it'll make me happy. And that's the big pursuit, happiness. I want to feel happy. Well, there's something much better than happiness, because happiness comes and goes depending on your circumstances. There's an epidemic around the world in mental illnesses. People having mental problems. Have you guys noticed that? Back in the 80s, when I was a teenager, you didn't hear of all these people with mental, everyone has mental issues. And today it's rampant. Why? Because after a while, sin takes a heavy toll on a person. It's a cancer. It's a death of the soul, of the spirit, of the mind, of the heart. We're seeing a world that has rejected God, and now it's on its deathbed. It's just spiraling out of control. You see, there's a rest that God wants to give His people. He wants you to be at peace even in this life. To rest means to be at peace or to be still, where your heart and your soul, your mind are not racing and worried and troubled. There's a calmness, there's a quietness to knowing God, being in relationship with God, even when things are not going well. To have found your true meaning and purpose in this life helps with this. Because there's another part inside of religion where people work so hard, they feel so burdened with trying to please God, trying to get God's favor, trying maybe to earn salvation. So out there chasing the world, you don't find rest. And then people come to religion or to God, and they're seeking to find rest from the world, and religion just puts a whole bunch of pressure on them. And now they got to perform and be even better. There's no rest, because religion is not the relationship. Religion is not what God wants us to be. He wants you to have this rest. He wants to give you a calmness, a stillness that can only be found in Him. Here's where I want to go in the time we have this morning. I want to go all the way to the beginning of the Bible. We're going to go through the entire Bible today. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the world is trying to get away from this. The world is trying to say, nothing was there, nothing exploded, and boom, now we have life. Now we're not accountable to anything. There is no meaning or purpose to life. Well, I would argue that completely, and we have in the past. But here's where I want to begin. Your purpose, your meaning to life is found only in God. In the beginning, God. Everything starts with God. If you don't have God at not just the number one spot in your life, but in every spot. He is life. He's the one that gave you life. He's the creator. You must look to God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. On day one, God created the earth and the heavens, where we would exist in a physical creation. Then over the next 4 days, God created different aspects of the earth and of life and how things would be for us, leading up to day six. So I want to skip there, Genesis 1, verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. All of creation doing what God designed it to do. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, which was known as the Word, and the Spirit. Let us make man in our image. The only thing in creation made in the image of God. We're not a product of evolution, and we're not a higher animal life form. We are unique in God's creation because we are to be in relationship with the one. He created a being to be in relationship with him. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and all over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, now including humanity. And indeed, it was very good. You see, humanity took the creation from good to very good. We were a unique creation. A creation to be in relationship with our Creator and to bring glory to him like no other part of creation could. We can love him and worship him and praise him. Indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now here's where most people today and throughout all of human history, but today, this is where they exist, in day six, in the world. That's their life. The world gives them their identity, their purpose, their meaning. Which is bad because the Bible tells us this world will go away one day. And another thing, you don't exist forever on this world. So most people find their existence, their meaning, their purpose, their identity in day six. Now, this world is beautiful. God designed it this way, and we can enjoy our life. We can enjoy all that God created. But the sixth day is not where we are to reside. It's not just about this life in this world. There's something to go past. But too many people are consumed with day six, the physical world, its cares, its lust, its sinfulness. They never go past day six with God, and they miss the rest that God has for them. They never go to day seven. Here's what they go to. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, when it's talking about the world, it's not talking about literal the creation, the physical earth. It's talking about the cares of this life, the sinfulness, the rebellion in this world. The rebellion we were all part of and did our part before we came to Christ. "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh..." All the things we did to make our physical bodies feel good, the lust of the eyes, everything we coveted and desired, everything that the world told us, if you have this, you'll be happy. And the pride of life, where we don't need anyone telling us what to do. We'll call our own shots. We don't need to be told. We got it all figured out. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This is where most of the world is. They're chasing those three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Day six. Genesis 1:31, "Then God saw everything that he made. Indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Again, I'm not saying you can't enjoy this life that God has given us in this world. You can. And you can enjoy God's creation. You can enjoy your life, your family, your friends. You can enjoy the job you do, the labor you do. But not the sin and the vanity and the rebellion of this world. Not the self-centeredness, the self-seeking in this world. And definitely not the rejection of God and his ways. Again, most people in this world are seeking to find meaning and purpose only in day 6. Not in day 7. But let's go to day 7 and see what we can discover. Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the 7th day, God ended his work. He stopped creating, which he had done. And he rested on the 7th day. He was still. Not recuperating, not restoring his energy. He just stopped creating. It was very good. He rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it. Because in it, he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So let me ask you a question. What was created on day 7? What was created? Nothing. Very good. Nothing. Day 7 is just God in all his glory there. The work of his hands, what he spoke, and him in all his glory. Just God. See, this is the day we want to exist. It's not about this world. We're not captivated by this world. No, no. We see God. We see his holiness and we can sing about it. And we're thankful. We're getting to know and understand him. We're in relationship with him. It transcends this world. Day 7 is where God in all his glory is at the forefront. It's the centerpiece. He is everything. This is the day we want to exist. In his existence, in his presence, is rest for the soul. God blessed this day and sanctified it. So now we have blessing and sanctification found in this day 7, in him. There's peace and there's joy to be found in the 7th day. Known as the Sabbath, which means to rest or to cease from, the Sabbath day was to rest in the Lord. As the Jews understood it, they were to take one day off, and they were to rest in the Lord, a physical rest. But the day was not to be honored as in and of itself. The Sabbath was made for humanity to take a rest in. But the Jews started to honor the day more than it was designed to be. And then it became a law and a burden, as it turned into a religious thing. And today people still want to make the Sabbath a religious burden. Not just the Jews, but there's denominations in America that say, you know, you have to worship God on the Sabbath, on Saturday. And you have to keep the law on the Sabbath. They've taken what God intended to be a rest and made it into religion and a burden. You see, the Sabbath was never meant, this day 7, this rest was never meant to be a religious thing. It pointed to something much better. Let me show you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. So let no one, the Apostle Paul says, let no one judge you in food or in drink. So, anyone out there says, hey, if you want to please God, you must not eat this or drink this. If anyone tells you something like that, run away from them. Because they're making up something religious and they're trying to put it on you. God says here in his word, let no one judge you in food or in drink. There's no special diet that we have to do or not do. Or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbaths. So as the Jews put a heavy burden of honoring the Sabbath on their people. And there's denominations in America now and around the world that say they put a Sabbath burden on people. Paul says, don't let anyone judge you. You don't have to keep this festival. You don't have to keep this diet. You don't have to keep this Sabbath day. Why? Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come. The Sabbath was just a shadowing. Just like I am casting a shadow up here from these lights. The shadow represents me, but it lacks substance, right? You can't have a discussion with my shadow. You can't embrace my shadow. It's just showing you something much, much more real. The Sabbath is a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The Sabbath is a rest. The Sabbath points to Jesus, a shadow of what is to come. Jesus came to give us rest, to find peace with God, to escape the judgment that we righteously deserve. Not by our own good works, but His. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered to once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await Him, for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Christ came to die for us, to have our sins legally dismissed, pardoned, removed from us. And in Him, we have salvation. Jesus accomplished what the law could never accomplish. Let me show you another verse. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come. So the law is a shadow as well. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, all the sacrifices you had to do in the law, all the customs you had to do, they could never take the place. They could never offer, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. The law was just a shadow. It had a purpose, but it wasn't where you wanted to find your hope and put your meaning and purpose and everything in this. The law was just a shadow. The law was given to keep us aware of our sinfulness and holding us to the faith that would come, pointing us to our need of a Savior. Let me show you Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor. Some of your Bibles may say schoolmaster. Was our tutor to bring us to Christ, to Jesus, that we might be justified by faith. You are saved by grace through faith in the death of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor, no longer under the law. The law was a shadow of something much better coming. The Sabbath was a shadow of something much better to come, both of them being Christ. So the seventh day is where you want to go with God, because that is what Jesus offers every human being, His rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Rest from trying to be good enough to get into heaven. Rest from religion, trying to be good enough. Rest from the chasing everything in this life that says you'll be happy if you have it, and you get it and you're not happy. Rest from the destruction of sin that wars against the soul. rest from everything in this world that is not of God. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in the rest that Jesus provides, we find peace and joy. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You want peace in this life? It's only found in Christ. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Peace and joy found in the rest that Christ gives us. To be found in Christ. To be found in the Sabbath day. The seventh day. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God's not promising us this life where we're healthy, wealthy, and wise, and everything's great, as some prosperity preachers teach. He's saying you will have hard times in this life. But in it I'll be with you. And I'll give you the peace that goes beyond under all understanding when you need it. I will give you the strength at the moment you are weak. As the Bible says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because God is faithful to sustain you, to hold you, to carry you. Romans 8 says this. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the flesh of the flesh. On the things of the flesh. Ooh, that's day 6. But those who live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the truth, the Holy Spirit that testifies of God. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be worldly, to be day 6, to chase everything in this life, to find your meaning and your purpose in this life, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the sinful mind, what are you going to find? In the end, you will find death. And then you'll find the second death, which is eternal separation from God in a place called hell and then a lake of fire. But to the spiritually minded, to the one who seeks not spiritual things in the world, but seeks the Holy Spirit through the Word, the sanctification of Christ. But to the spiritually minded is life and peace. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, where we begin. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhorting one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, a whole generation fell into rebellion, fell into sinfulness, fell into faithlessness. They didn't want to obey God. That can still happen to people today. It can still happen in here. You've been instructed by Paul through chapters 1 and 3 to believe in Jesus Christ, to put your faith in Christ, to seek Jesus Christ, to be in relationship with God. But as the unbelieving, this rebellious generation forsook all that, we're being taught today to see how precious it is. The rest that God has for you, that generation threw away. For what? The world? This world's not going to offer you anything but death. And verse 13 tells us to exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitful sin. You see, here's that community aspect of the relationship. We are to come together and we are to support each other in our walk. You know, as we come together and we're serving together and we're growing our relationships together, you know, we're friends and we're family, we might notice someone in here. You might notice a brother or sister you can tell is not the same. They're quiet. They're pulling back. You realize they're dealing with something. Maybe they haven't shared it. You see, we have an obligation to one another to help one another do this walk, to walk together, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another. We can't do this alone. It was never meant to be done alone. The relationship we have with God is one-on-one. It's personal. It's between Him and us. But it's designed for us to come together and be one in the faith, one body, one team, one family. And we're going to help each other continue down the path and stay and seek day 7 and not fall back into day 6. I hope that makes sense. Because too many churches are falling back into day 7 or day 6. And they're not taking people all the way to where they're supposed to go. Into the rest of God to find Jesus Christ and to live and have your meaning and your existence there for the rest of your life, not in this world. I'm going to close this out. Here we go. We're going to finish chapter 3. Do you realize that? We've been in chapter 3, verse 12 for 6-7 weeks. We're going to finish it up right here. Look at this. Verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ. Now, he says, come to me, all who are burdened, and I'll give you rest. That's what we've taken part in. That's where we are. We have arrived in day 7. We are in the rest of God and relationship with Him. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You see, there are people, for one reason or another, they fall back. They arrive to Christ and then they fall back. We don't want to do that. We want to keep helping and encouraging one another. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today you will hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? They were saved by God. They were slaves in Egypt, and God brings them out. And He says, here, I want to have a relationship with you. Here is the way to do it. And they were like, no, we're going to make up the relationship. We're going to do it our way. And they rejected God's way. That's religion. That's faithlessness. And they lost everything. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? You don't want God angry with you. Was it not those who sinned? Who corpses fell in the wilderness? Yes. Verse 18. And to whom did He swear that those would not enter, that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, faithlessness. They wanted God and His salvation from slavery. They wanted God's blessings. They wanted God's provision. But they didn't want Him. They didn't want Him. They wanted the world. They wanted day 6. They wanted themselves. They're willing to be religious and do a certain amount of things, but in their hearts, they always went astray. They played the hypocrite or wanted to play the hypocrite. And you can't play the hypocrite with God. He sees all. And He sees our hearts. And you may fool yourself or you may fool others, but you don't fool Him. Jesus said, they speak of me with their tongues, but their heart is far from me. Either you humble yourself before a holy God and you're so thankful for His mercy because he made a way for you to be forgiven when there was no other way. And he's redeemed you, and he's reconciled you, and he's called you into a relationship, but he calls the shots. You don't get to define the relationship. He does. And we're faithful to him. Not to religion, not to churchy things, but to the relationship. The personal aspect, the community aspect, the public aspect. And when we do it his way, no matter what happens in life, deep down inside, there's a rest. There's a peace. There's a calmness. But these people lost it all. The faithless generation in the wilderness, they missed out on everything. The life that God wanted to provide them there in the land and the life to come. And that's where it's really really matters is life to come. And I'll talk about that next week. And it's a life that most people have no clue about. What God plans for those who are faithful in him, that life is mind-blowing. Most people have such a small, insignificant view and an ignorant understanding of heaven, of eternal life, that they're not excited about it. But if you really know what God plans, the life he plans for his people, you would be excited. We'll talk about that next week. But today, what day do you exist in? Come on up, team. What day do you exist in? Is your life, your purpose, your existence in day 6 and what this world offers? Making a name for yourself here, or trying to build a house and we end up building it on the sand? Is your whole value in what you have or possess, material-wise? Is life all about being feeling comfortable and having a luxurious life and having the best things? You know, I existed for many years of my life serving something pretty good, pretty great, bigger than myself, which was my country, and I served in the Marine Corps, and that gave me meaning and purpose, and that was a good thing to serve your country. But see, my meaning and purpose existed only as a Marine. Well, you can't be a Marine for your entire life, at least not on active duty, right? There are things in this life that you can apply yourself that are good things. And they give you meaning and purpose, but in the end, they can't maintain it. You can't do it forever. Don't find your existence in day 6. Don't stay in day 6 and ask God to come back and kind of have him and have the world. That doesn't work. Let go of the world. Step into day 7. It was just God. Just him. Can you be content with just having him and his purpose and his meaning, his plan? What he ordains is right. We sang that. Day 7 is where it's at. In Christ. In the rest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that we all understand this today. And that everyone finds their place in you. In the rest. In the Sabbath day. In Christ, our peace, our righteousness, our joy, our meaning and our purpose is found in him, only in him, only Jesus. So Lord, I ask you to help us understand that. And I ask you to help us start letting go of day 6, the things we hold on from day 6. of the world. Let's start letting them go. We still exist in the world, Lord. We still have a life we must live here, but we can live it with much greater meaning and purpose than what this world offers us. And we can be salt and light. We are in the world. We are in day six. But we can exist and live in day seven. I ask you to help us to do that, Lord. And if there's anyone in here, Lord, who does not know you, who's not been born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I ask you to put that on their heart, that they're not right with you, that they must be born again, as Jesus said in John chapter 3. And I ask you to reveal that to them, draw them to you, that the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter may come home and join us. But Lord, I thank you for those that have come out today. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I ask you to help us to encourage one another to walk this faith, this relationship as one. And we pray this in the name above every name, in the only name given to us that we might be saved, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, let's stand up and we'll sing this last song.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, change your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell his empty dreams. I got lost in the light, but it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And only Jesus.
Only Jesus is where we find our rest, our peace, our joy, and our meaning and purpose in life. Outside of Him, there is nothing. So let's go take that truth to the world. Let's go live that truth. Let's go be His church. Let's go be His team. Let's go be salt and light this week. Try to help someone find the truth, to find what you have. Let's go share. Let's go live it. Let's go be it. On the count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.